In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Good morning. Thank you for joining myself and Jack Gardner in our broadcast today for the Word for Life. My name's Kent Keltner. I'm the pastor there at Brookside, and Jack is in studio helping me as we go through the book of Joshua and puts it on air for us here for the Word for Life. I'm thankful for VCY and Jim Schneider and the ministry and all those that serve there at VCY to bring the Word of God to you on over the radio wave. So, Jack, thank you. Good to have you here with us this morning.
Thank you, Pastor Ken.
And we'll get right to it. We're in Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to ask Jack if he would read for us verses 2 through 5 for us, if you would. In the context, they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River. I mean, they have longed to go into the Promised Land for 40-something years now, and here it comes.
So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set it from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know your way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you."
You know, long before the dawn of the morning had gone across that eastern sky, Joshua arose, we're told, in his tent, because the day had come to pass over that they would pass over the Jordan River. The spies came back. They were excited about what God was going to do, and they brought a courageous message back to the people. And now there seems to be this movement in the camp to a spot within a mile or so from the, I guess you could call it, the boisterous rush of the swollen floodwaters of the Jordan River. And we're going to cross that. And at daybreak, the officers let the people know this, and I loved it as you read that for us, Jack. Keep your eyes fixed on the Ark of God. You know, the whole temple and the tabernacle in the Old Testament, we're told in Exodus chapter 25:8, and you think, well, what was the whole purpose of that? That was God wanted to dwell with his people. God wants to be with us. He wants us to commune with him. And the writer of Hebrews, he clearly said, you keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. He's the pioneer. He's the completer of our faith. And as they were to keep their eyes fixed on the Ark, that was representation. That was representing God. And what's interesting, Jack, is this is the last time the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned here in the book of Joshua. And I think it's a very important focal point in this chapter, for it's mentioned 9 times in this chapter. I mean, this is not going to be any type of haphazard move for the children of Israel. It is going to be totally precise, but you keep your eyes fixed on God. I mean, this ark was the most holy physical possession of Israel, since it symbolized God's very presence. His glory actually rested in the Ark of the Covenant. In fact, Exodus 25:22 says, "I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are on the Ark of the Testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel." And if you remember, a little Bible trivia for you here, what did the Ark of the Covenant contain? It contained 3 symbols of Israel's relationship with God. First of all, there was the 10 Commandments. Then there was Aaron, the high priest, his rod that budded, and then a jar of manna to show, of God's protection. And this ark is referred to in various ways in this chapter. It's going to be here in verse 1, the Ark of the Covenant. That's the most common. In the Hebrew, several references to it elevate it to a more prominent status. The Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of all the earth, the Ark, the covenant of the Lord, and Lord is in all caps, meaning that's the name of Jehovah or of Yahweh God. It's as though the Ark is the covenant whose very presence, again, is associated with God. This Ark is closely related also to the covenant. And so, Jack, as I look at that, I think, man, it's impossible to live by faith and ignore the Word of God. The writer again of James says in James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Well, the way that's going to take place is going to be for us to pick up the Word of God and to study it and see what God is wanting to show us in the Word this day. It's extremely important that when you're either walking or running, that you look at where you're going. You know, I mean, the most embarrassing time as a kid I remember was at the grocery store, and I was watching something in the parking lot. When I turned around, I ran right into this concrete barrier. Boom. It just head-butted me. Nothing will throw you off quicker than not to look where you're going. So God is very clear with the priests and with Joshua. You keep your eyes fixed on God.
You know, it's interesting. I was teaching my little girl how to ride her bike. And when she would start looking down, she'd start getting wobbly. And I said, well, keep your eyes in front of you. And all of a sudden, it's starting to straighten out. It would smooth out just along the same concept of what you're talking about.
And Peter, remember Peter walking on the water? I mean, it's like, hey, man, I'm walking. He's keeping his eyes on Jesus. And all of a sudden, man, look at these waves. I'm walking on. And boom.
Yeah.
Takes his eyes off. And I tell you, it's so true in our life. We take our eyes off of the Lord, and we get them on our own situations, our own plans, and all of a sudden, wow, we're like Peter starting to sink.
Yeah.
The Christian life throughout Scripture is portrayed by this metaphor of walking, that I'm progressing. And Jack, you keep talking about sanctification, and as believers, we're in what we refer to as progressive sanctification, that we're growing, and oftentimes that's taken two steps forward and one back, or three steps forward and one or two steps back. And yet, it's important that we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. You know, when the Ark of the Covenant was to move, they're very clear that's when they're supposed to move. The Ark was an encouragement to their faith. If you remember when they were in battles with the Philistines and the Ark of the Covenant came into the camp, they usually heard the Israeli soldiers just going crazy with excitement because the Ark brought encouragement to their faith. It meant that God was going before them. He was going to open up the way. And obviously, when the Ark was breaking up new ground, they were to break it. They were to follow. And as the Ark was taken into the flooding current of the Jordan, so they were to advance fearlessly into the formidable future that lied ahead. I mean, wow. I mean, we got to be totally dependent on you. I mean, some could have kept their eyes fixed on the past and refused to cross over. You know, I mean, there is a certain aspect of security in the past. We know what has happened and we can kind of deal with it. I mean, others you think of could have looked at the river and been afraid to cross. And again, there we go back to that fear. Fear can just grip the heart of people, and it just makes us determined to stay where we are.
I think it's so interesting, too, that water was such a theme in the Red Sea and in the Jordan because of just how intimidating, how voluminous, I hope that's the right word, it is, and how fearful it can be of going through it.
Which is interesting you bring that up, because in Revelation 21, in the new heaven, the new earth, there is one aspect that is absent, and it's the sea.
Yes.
You think of how many people have died at the hands of the sea.
Yep.
I mean, if you don't have a healthy respect for water, you're going to get in trouble real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never forget, Jack, I knew God wasn't done with my life. I was at a youth camp in North Carolina. And it was a leadership camp, and, you know, that afternoon they were going to let the kids go on this massive hike, and for the guys, it was called the Commando Hike, and oh, wow, you know, I'm a little older. And
there's your first wrong move, the title.
I remember, it was a tough hike, and we get down to where the creek that had been going through this camp would spill out into Lake Jocassee in North Carolina. And then we'd had a lot of rain, and so the head of the lifeguards, who was a full-time staff member there at the camp, said, you know, I'm concerned about the kids floating down those inner tubes and going over the waterfall. Mm-hmm. And he goes, so I don't want them doing that. That's dangerous. And he said, so I'm going to go out. And there was a little island, and to his left would be going down the waterfall. To the right would just easily move you right into Lake Jocassee, and you get out and go do it again. I'm not a great swimmer. I mean, water has kind of been fearful for me at times, but I thought, you know, I think he needs help. So I went out there and he goes, hey, yeah, if you could just push the kids, over to, my right, that's where we want him to go down. I said, sure. Well, I got out there and there was a lot of water. I was up to my neck, in water and I'm pushing the kids and we're having a good time. And I push and all of a sudden, when I push, it takes me back into the rapids.
Oh, boy.
And, being from Colorado, I'd done some whitewater rafting. They said, hey, when you fall out, you kind of sit back and keep your feet up, in the air. And that's how I took. And it was so loud. I mean, the fall and the water. And all of a sudden, Ron looked out and he goes, what he said was, don't stand up. But Jack, all I heard him say was stand up. I thought, stand up.
Of course.
I had just taken an ankle brace off this was all of God, that I knew he wasn't done with me. I stood up and my foot got trapped with the boulders on the bed of the creek there. And they say that the number one cause of death is foot entrapment, and the water just knocks me right over and I'm underwater holding my breath. I can't get free. And all of a sudden, my ankle dislocates, and my foot comes out. And Jack, I don't have a helmet on or anything, and I go down this waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
I go down this waterfall underwater. It's like being in a washing machine.
Like surfing almost, getting turned around and turned around by
a
wave.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I was just holding my breath as long as I could, and then all of a sudden, boom, I popped out into the calm waters of Lake Jocassee.
Wow.
And when I popped up, he was, I cannot believe it. I was like, man, how are we going to get his body out of here?
Oh.
And God protected me just as he did the children of Israel all through their wandering in the wilderness, the crossing of the Red Sea and the crossing of the Jordan River. Water can spark fear. I mean, some people don't want to get baptized. They don't want to follow the Lord in baptism because they have this fear of the water. But this fear aspect, I mean, some could have said, oh, man, I'm not going into that.
Mm-hmm.
We worry about tomorrow, yet the Lord in Matthew 6 says, don't be worrying about things over materials that you have, like what we're going to eat or what we're going to wear. Again, Matthew 6 tells us that only seek God and his righteousness. He's going to take care of these things. We worry over so many things, and yet we need to give that to the Lord and truly live our life as though, hey, I am anxious for nothing. Philippians is going to tell us that all of our worry is sin and that what we must do is completely trust God. Can I say, I don't think anybody enjoys moving, but I remember all too well moving from Colorado to the wonderful state of Wisconsin. I remember the challenges, the tears, the obstacles. And the spiritual question for me at that time and for us today is this: am I prepared to move out of my little tent of personal security to discover new ground with God? And if that's going to happen, it's going to happen because you're willing to act on your faith and trust that he knows best, and you're going to keep your eyes fixed on him. Because we do not know what a day will bring forth. I trust that you will live with victory today at your job site or with your family, and may your family see your passion and your commitment to totally trust God. Well, have a great afternoon or day, no matter where you find yourself, and we look forward to our next broadcast as we continue in our study of Joshua chapter 3.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.